to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Last week, as we were looking in the scriptures, we noticed that we had a faithless servant in Gehazi, who, even though he went through the actions and did what he was told, he didn't have the faith to back up what he was doing. He was just going through the motions. Then we saw in contrast, and we left off looking at a mother who was willing to go the extra mile for her child. It didn't matter what obstacles stood in her way, she was going to get in to see the prophet of God because her son needed God's help. Her child needed God's help, and nothing would stop her from getting to the man that God had to save her son, to save his life. And today, I would like to look at what happened, and to finish the story, how to raise a dead child back to life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the scriptures that we read that tell us that new life in Christ can be found in your word, and that with faith and action, we can see you do miracles. And we're going to take a story about you physically raising a child back to life in the through the ministry of Elisha. And we're going to talk about all the children around us and the people and our neighbors who are spiritually lost, spiritually dead, as Ephesians chapter 2 tells us. And Lord, we know that you have the power to take the sinner and to make them come back to life, to find new life in Christ, to know what it means to be born again. I pray that you might help us to open your word today and be encouraged. And Lord, if there's one person here who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, and they are like this child, they're sitting here in a pew, but spiritually they're lying dead on a bed, I pray that the word of God might come onto their life like Elisha's staff did, and that they might find new life in Christ and know what it means to be born again. I pray that you might be with this message today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wrote down here, how to raise a dead kid to life, right? We talk a lot about how to raise a child, but what about a child who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Or someone walking around this world who doesn't know what it means to be born again? We just read John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, Jesus talks to Nicodemus about being born again. They need to be convinced that new birth is always original and never inherited. Because your parents go to church and they're good Christian people does not mean that you will too. My wife was talking to me about my mother this morning or last night. I can't remember which one. But she talked about how mom was always in church. She was here Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday. I think my mother came to church more than Pastor Baker did in those 29 years. Maybe that's, but it's pretty close. And that's my mom. That was her. But that does not mean that I was going to heaven because my mom came to church so faithfully. And she was always here and she was always serving. But that does not mean that, you know, until I personally decided to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I was just as dead as this child that we read about in this story. And in John chapter 3, what we just read Jesus talking to Nicodemus, and we just read it just a minute ago all together, so I'm not going to have us look there, but I want us to think about that. It's a passage of Scripture that we know very well. Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus wants to, just like so many times with Christ, Nicodemus wanted to talk about something else. Jesus, we know that you're a teacher of Israel. What gives you this authority to be going into the temple, flipping over to, and Jesus says, you got to be born again. What do you think Nicodemus is like? That's not what I came to talk about. Jesus says, marvel not that I say unto you, must be born again. Aren't you a teacher in Israel? You teach the word of God and you don't understand this? You need to be born again. And I've said many times, being born again is an important part of your spirit, the most important part, that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Doing good works is not going to get you to heaven. Going to church does not guarantee that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. It's believing in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and His shed blood that we just celebrated that forgives you of your sins. And you need that. But if I think that if I went up to people, Christians, and I said to them, could you explain to me what it means to be born again? The majority of the things, the places that they would take me to in the Bible are New Testament verses. They take me to Jesus' teaching. They take me to Paul's teaching. You know, Peter and John, they could put in there. And they'd say, here, and no problem with that. But what did Jesus say to Nicodemus? Aren't you a teacher in Israel? Don't you know this book? And guess what? Nicodemus didn't have Paul. Nicodemus didn't have John. He didn't have Peter. And he says, aren't you a teacher in Israel? And don't you know what it means to be born again? So I challenge people, when you read the Old Testament, do you find teaching about new life in Christ? Do you, and maybe I should be careful when I say new life in Jesus Christ, is Jesus Christ now, but new life through faith in God, being born again. And I think you look to the Old Testament and you're going to find that just like us, they had examples of new life, being born again. And I, in many places, I always say, when I get done with Elisha, we're going to take a dive into the book of John. And when I get to John chapter 3, we're going to go to a couple different places in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at what it means to be born again. But today, I think as we look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 32 to 37, we're going to find that faith in God gave a child a new lease on life. It wasn't a magic stick. It wasn't a mother who was willing to go the extra mile. It wasn't a faithless servant. It wasn't his it was God's work in this child's life that brought him back to life. And let's read 2 Kings chapter 4. In 2 Kings chapter 4, it says in verse 32, when Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child, and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child. And the flesh of the child became warm. And he returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed seven times. And the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her. And when she came in to him, he said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. As I've read this passage of scripture, I read in the life of Elijah in 1 Kings, where Elijah prayed in a similar event for a child to come back to life. And as you read this, you read about Gehazi taking Elisha's staff and putting it on the boy, resting it on the boy. And I read about Elisha climbing up and say, it says in here, he put his eyes on his eyes, his mouth on his mouth, and his hands on his hands. There's nothing mystical about the work that these men did. There's not, if you look through the scriptures, you find a lot of people that come back from the dead. Lazarus, the child in 1 Kings, this child, Jairus' daughter. All through the scriptures, you see the dead coming back to life. And there's not some secret formula. So, if you, on your way home today, if you find someone who has perished, please don't think that if you follow the exact steps here, that this is going to happen like this. This was a miracle. God did this. And why God chose this event here, I can't explain. Often I'll get a call from someone, and a couple of times recently, someone has called me and said, could we pray about something? I say, okay. And we pray about it, and before the phone has even hung up, or maybe 10 minutes later, God answers that request the way that I didn't think was possible. It's a miracle. There are other things that we pray about, and we pray about, and we pray about. And we see God answer later on down the road. But as I look at this passage, and I picture Jesus and Nicodemus having a conversation, and Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Nicodemus is like, what are you talking about? Do you want me to climb back in, up into my mother's womb and come out a second time? Jesus said, wait, you are a teacher of the book. Why do you think it's crazy? Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The Old Testament scriptures talk about new life in Christ. And here's a picture of new life. And I think there's lots of lessons that we can learn about new life. The first thing is that we look at the mother's, her devotion to this child and her willing to go the extra mile. I believe that made a difference in why this child was able to be born again and had this new life and came back from the dead. That played a big part in it. And if you, as a parent, or you as a loved one, you have someone in your family that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the first thing that we need to understand is that something that's important is that we first are authentic Christians. Authentic spirituality, to live the Christian life genuinely, is the best environment for a kid that is dead in their trespasses and sins. And so as we know that around us and surrounding us, there are people that do not know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The first thing that we need to understand is that we have to be a good example of how new life is different and it's better. And we believe that. We talk often about how if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, yes, that gives us heaven, that provides us heaven, but it also makes a difference here, today, and now in this world. And our life and our actions ought to show how it makes a difference. That we act righteously, that we live like Christ, and that we are different and the joy and peace that God gives to us surpasses anything, so that people will want that new life. And so I put down some things here about living as an authentic Christian. And so you can foster an environment that is good for that child that wants to, that needs new life in Christ. The first thing that we ought to display in our life is, and we ought to be living, is the Beatitudes. You want to know what you can do to help raise a child who is dead back to life is to portray the Beatitudes. Let's turn over our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 3, and I'd like to read all the way to verse 16, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We often use this passage of Scripture, especially verses 14 to 16, in talking about being a witness and a testimony to a lost and dying world. And if we are going to be a witness and a testimony to a lost and dying world, we need to say something, but we need to be living an authentic Christian life in order to be a daily example of what we are saying. Both have to go together. You have to live a good Christian testimony, and you need to speak the Word of God. And so I'd encourage you to look at verses 3 to 10 and to think about the Beatitudes, living poor in spirit, being meek, merciful, pure in heart, being a peacemaker, hungering and thirsting for what is right and what is good in a world that has a taste of what is bad, and they keep going back to it again and again and again. We need to be different. We need to be authentic. We need to have the Beatitudes on display in our life. A child who is alive needs to see people who has a desire to not want to be dead spiritually, but to be alive spiritually, needs to see those things in the people around them. They need to see that the Beatitudes are a different and better way to live as they follow Christ. If they're going to be alive in Christ, they need to have a life that is changed, a life that is transformed. They need to have a transformed mind. So we as Christians, we need to display a mind that thinks differently, and we need to have a transformed mind. Let's turn over our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. In Romans 12, in verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. If we are going to have children or neighbors or whoever that are lost and dying, we want them to have a whole life transformation. And an important part of that is to have a transformed, a renewed mind in Christ. We need to show them that there is something different than the world has to offer through a genuine, authentic life in Christ, and we need to live it and we need to be it. Show them that there's a better way to live. We also need to display and show them that there's something different, that there's something to be desired in the fruit of the Spirit. Let's turn over in our Bibles to the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22, we see what someone living new life in Christ looks like. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And as Christians, Jesus Christ made it so, so evident in his teaching that the person who is alive and living for Christ will display this fruit of the Spirit in their life. If you truly are alive in Christ, the Beatitudes ought to be seen in your life. You ought to notice that there is a, and the people around you need to notice that there is a transformed mind that is not conformed to this world, but is different. And as you act and as you live, you'll see that the fruit of the Spirit is evidenced in how you live. Not only do these things ought to be examples of what an authentic Christian life is, also humility in your life. And in Philippians chapter 4, as I chose all these verses and all these passages, I thought about the person who is different because Christ has made them be born again. And how their life is different because Christ is in it. And how we know that they are alive in Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you look out for his, not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. We could just read on to verses 5 and 6, saying, let this mind, that kind of mind, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Is the humility of Christ evident in our life? And also, not only should the Beatitudes be displayed, a transformed mind, the fruit of the Spirit, the humility of Christ, we should also be people who are consistent in prayer. People who are alive in Christ have a consistent and determined prayer life. They spend time with their Father, they open the Bible, they pray, and their life is different. There is evidence that they have a different life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verses 16 to 18, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every evil." As we've looked at these passages of Scripture this morning, we see what someone who is born again looks like. And if I were to, like Jesus Christ said, look around this room and look for the fruit, the evidence. I see lots of people living for Christ. But today, we asked just a minute ago to examine our hearts. When Elisha walked into that room, and he shut the door, and Gehazi and Mom were on the outside. And when he put his mouth and his lips and his head and his hands on that boy, the boy was cold. He was dead. There was no evidence of life. But when Elisha prayed and the life came back in that boy, he could tell that there was something different in that boy. The boy became warm. He began to sneeze. And everybody could see that there was something different. So today we've looked at what an authentic Christian looks like, the evidence, fruit of the Spirit, the Beatitudes, a transformed mind, a prayer life. These things are part of daily Christian living. And maybe you're hearing them say, "That's not me. I don't know what new life in Christ is all about." You guys, you Christians, you sing "New Life in Christ, Abundant and Free," and I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm not fruit of the Spirit. Those things aren't me. But I'm not asking you to look at and inspect the fruit of the person sitting next to you. I'm asking you to inspect the fruit of your life this morning. To take a look on the inside and say, do you know what new life is all about? Where do you find yourself trapped in sin? Blind to the truth of the Word of God? You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ at all. You don't know the power of His blood. You're miserable. You're lost. And you know it. You know that the person that I was talking about today is not you. If Elisha were to walk into this room and examine your spiritual life, it's not there. It's time for you to examine your heart and say, I want new life. I want to know what these people have. I want to pour out my life to Christ. And I want Him today. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. I live because he is risen. And a lot of us in this room, we love that song because we know what it means. We know how it's changed your life. But if you're sitting here today, you say, I don't know the joy of new life in Christ. I want to be born again. Maybe it's time you come down here to the front and you did business with the Lord and say, Lord, I want new life. I want to know the truth of the Beatitudes, the fruit of the Spirit, and how to live differently. And I'll come down, I'll talk to you. Everybody else can wait. And they all would agree that they need to wait their turn. Because getting right with the Savior is what's most important. And maybe today we were talking about how to raise a dead child back to life. And you know a dead child in your life that hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you want them, or you want a loved one, or someone that you know, to see authentic Christianity as something to be desired and wanted, and you want them to be born again. And you want to pray that God will open their eyes, and they'll see something different. You can come down front and pray. Let's take our hymnals this morning, and let's open to number 366, and we'll sing, I Live. And this song has some key changes and going back and forth, but we're not going to do that. I'm not that complicated. But we're going to sing, I Live. And if you want to do business with Jesus Christ, the man who would give his life for you, why don't you come down front and do business with the Lord and say, I need new life in Christ. So next week when we sing this song, you can sing it with us. I live, because he is risen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand and sing. Because you're alive, I live, and because you're alive, we live. We thank you for the cross. I thank you for the blood that you shed. Bless us today as we leave this place. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And all of God's people said,
Amen.